So as part of our Christmas celebrations, we celebrate the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and we look to them as our guide for our own families. You know, we heard in the gospel that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and that the child grew, right, in wisdom and favor with God. Have you heard of the family being referred to as the domestic church? Vatican II called the family the domestic church because, as the catechism states, quote, parents are, by word and example, the first heralds of the faith with regards to their children. The home is the first school of Christian life and a school for human enrichment. So our hope is that every child has a home that in which we can say the very same thing that was said about Jesus, that our little Johnny or Susie grows in wisdom and strength and in the favor of God. That's the vocation of the family, right? To be the domestic church in which you are the ministers, if you will, that your children and your grandchildren grow strong and be filled with the wisdom of God, and thus be spiritually equipped to face a world that, as we've seen in 2018, can be pretty brutal, right? We spend so much money on education of our mind and the formation of our kids and even their fitness, but what about their spirits? We see our youth taking a battering spiritually because they're not spiritually equipped oftentimes. So being a celibate priest, you know that's not my vocation. Now you do call me father, but which is because I spiritually father a whole parish community, but the everyday life of my kind of fatherhood looks a lot different from the kind of fatherhood and motherhood of a singular nuclear family. And so I thought I'd ask the experts, friends who have this vocation, friends of mine who I think are doing an incredible job in living out their vocation of their family home to be that domestic church for each other and for their children. And one of them is the O'Malley family. My friend's name is John, very fitting for our parish, St. John. The story of just how their family came to be is pretty amazing. So John and his wife, Maria, could not conceive in the first 18 months of their marriage. So they decided to adopt a baby from Ethiopia. And they ended up adopting twins, a boy and a girl from Ethiopia. And when they went to go pick up Peter and Mari, they experienced firsthand the poverty of that many in Ethiopia suffer. So 1 year later, after having the twins, a year later, they felt moved again to begin the adoption process, during which they were contacted about the possibility of a sibling group of four. Now you may be thinking, what in the world? Do they know what they're getting themselves into? Actually, they do have more than an inkling of what they were getting into, because both John and Maria grew up in big Catholic families. John grew up in a family of 10, a few of them which were adopted from the foster care system, something that our own Catholic charities have asked us to consider. And Maria also grew up in a family of 7 siblings, and 2 of her brothers became priests, actually. So 8 anxious months later, they traveled back to Ethiopia to go pick up this sibling group of ages 11, 9, 7, and 4. The trip back was 40 hours, more than 40 hours, and none of the kids spoke English. That was in 2007, and now they are still one big faith-filled, happy family over 10 years later. So let's show that picture of them. That's them now, a recent picture. John says the kids are flourishing at school and at home. And by the way, after they made these decisions that have utterly transformed the lives of these 6 adopted children, John and Maria were also able to conceive 2 naturally, as you may have surmised by the family photo. You know, one in 2010 and the other in 2012. So how do they do it? How do they keep the faith thriving in the family? It helps that both John and Maria had parents who were very strong faith models, who modeled family prayer for them. Through John and Maria's own deep relationships with God, they were able to make these, you know, magnanimous decisions in their lives, because they realized that their lives ultimately were not about them, but about how God wanted to use them to do something beautiful. And they are able to do it because of the real empowering grace of Jesus, his power, his life inspiring and living in a husband and wife utterly committed to God and to each other. And it's the sacramental life of the church and their prayer life together that transmit that life and power of God, that allows them to love beyond themselves. John's occupation is a business coach, by the way. But back at Franciscan University, we called him Stallone because of his resemblance to Sylvester Stallone and that Rocky-like jawline. Anyway, I told John that we began the year of prayer in the diocese and in our parish, and that we're striving to follow St. John Paul the Great's call to make parishes schools of prayer and centers of the new evangelization. So I asked John last week for some advice. Since it's the Feast of the Holy Family, how do they live family life? How do they live that life of prayer out in a crazy, hectic schedule of 8 children? And he responded that they really use family meal times as the arena by which they get regular prayer time in altogether. This is what he sent me. Quote, "We have a different person lead an impromptu prayer of thanks before the meal prayer. This helps them become comfortable praying in front of others and teaches them to lead others in prayer." He has lead in all caps because he's wants to make sure to cultivate the ability to lead others in prayer. After the impromptu prayer, we also have a very long and beautiful prayer. It gets long, but it's good. I'll share it with you because Maria and I love it so much. We hope other families could make use of it. During Advent and Lent, we kneel after dinner, and again, someone leads the family in prayer before the manger scene or before our altar-like table. We try to do it right after dinner, before the dishes and the craziness of after dinner sets in. Nothing too long, so the little ones don't revolt either. We also try to attend as many daily masses together as we can. Doesn't always happen, but we know it's the best form of prayer together. It's hard with big families, but we just keep trying. Now I'll share that family dinner prayer that at the end of the homily with you. I'll use it to conclude. But I want to share with you what another friend and his family does. His name is John as well. And in fact, both John O'Malley and John Patelli and I were all in the same household together at Franciscan University. So let's switch the picture to the Patellis now. I actually had a hand in getting John and his now wife, April, to begin dating. So anyway, this John, this one, went from Franciscan then to Notre Dame School of Law. And last year on the Feast of the Family, Holy Family, I do remember mentioning another family who graduated from Notre Dame School of Law. That's just a coincidence, not the same guy. Anyway, this John has practiced law for over a dozen years, and now he's currently a law clerk at the federal appellate level in Jacksonville, Florida. He and April have 6 children now and just got back with me on Wednesday. And being a pastor of the parish, I love the advice that he gave, that they strive to live as a family. Here's part of what he said that was different from the other John, since there's had some similarities. But he said this, quote, "Make your parish the center of your family life. Live as close to it as possible. Make the parish people your community. Frequent the sacraments and adoration. Consecrate your marriage and each child to Jesus through Mary. Pray the nightly rosary, entrusting your family to Our Lady. Take time to enjoy your children and love them. Drink a glass of vino with your spouse when possible." Ladies are like, yes. "Don't let the little things get you down. and remember to exercise your sense of humor. End of quote. So great advice, I'd say, eh? I've mentioned to you how another good friend of mine, Joe, and his wife, Kristen, also use the nightly rosary as a central part of their regular prayer time together with their six kids just before going to bed. It's great family time together of just being in one another's presence and doing that in the context of God. Your kids may think it's boring, the rosary, but that's okay. It helps them teach them to open the communication lines with God and familiarizes them with the life of the Holy Family by contemplating on the various mysteries. Plus, it's when they're bored. It's when our kids are bored, when they're not allowed to resort to some diversion, that they actually get around to asking, pondering the big questions in life and the meaning of life, to contemplate about their own life and where God might be calling them. Instead of mistaking the meaning of life to be just being entertained, right? So don't be surprised if after the rosary your kids begin to ask more meaningful questions. The same goes for us, right? It helps open the communication lines with God. So I mentioned the prayer lives of these couple of families to let you know just a couple of different ways of how families are actually living out this vocation of the family to be the domestic church. That yes, it is possible. You know, some of my family is in town this weekend. We're staying at a cottage up in Pleasant Lake, just north of here. And I noticed my brother Chip and his wife just last night gathered their kids for nightly prayer. I asked them what they do, and each member of the family prays aloud spontaneously for whatever is on their mind. Then they have a passage of scriptural reading, spiritual reading. Sometimes they'll substitute that with my homily listened on the website. And then they finish with a prayer from St. Teresa of Avila, the St. Michael prayer, and that we do at the end of Mass, and then also an Our Father, Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. So whatever your efforts for your kids or your grandkids, even if those efforts don't seem to be going well, don't be discouraged. You know, none of these families I've mentioned do these things perfectly. But the important thing is to be intentional about your family's prayer life. As leaders and ministers of your domestic church, to have a vision for your family's prayer life. We talked about having a routine in your own prayer life and a routine within the routine. So it's important, that's a good first place to start, is our own personal prayer time. But it's important to have one for your family, because one thing has been clear with a lot of these families, in order to make these things happen, they don't try to find time for prayer, as we said, they make time for prayer. Because if you leave it to just finding time for prayer, it's not going to happen. It takes the intentional sacrificing of less important things that would conflict with that prayer time. So in this year of prayer, identify those idols in your life that get in the way for you and your family. Is it, maybe it's too much screen time for the kids, or maybe it's too many extracurricular obligations, or maybe in our own unwillingness to let go of some of our less important priorities. Identify those idols and make time for God as a family. So again, don't be discouraged. Parents can do everything perfect and still have rebellious children. We saw that even God couldn't keep that from happening from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. So what makes us think that we can control them, right? That's just our concupiscence. But what we can do for our children is to provide that environment for them to, that will be most conducive for them to grow and become strong, spiritually equipped, and grow in wisdom as Jesus did, the child Jesus did, to be filled with God's favor. And so that they know where to turn when things go south, when they do make bad choices. Because we all make them, right? I know I have. That's why we all need a Savior. I had mentioned we would conclude with the prayer that first John and his family say just before each of their family dinners. So I'd like to pray that prayer now for each of our families here at St. John and for our life as a parish family together. So let's pray. And this is the one that John sent me. Our Father, we thank you for your love and many blessings, especially for the precious gift of each other. Help us to show our gratitude by loving each other as you love us. Make us understanding and patient with one another, quick to admit our failings and ask forgiveness, generous in sharing the joy and strength we can give each other. Father, give our family lively faith and the courage to share it with those around us. Direct us to the state in life you plan for each of us, and help us to use your gifts to serve you. We entrust our family to your fatherly care. Preserve us from the corruption of the modern world, and help us draw closer daily to you and to each other until we come to share with you the joys of heaven. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, help us to be a holy family. Amen.